We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communication products for more than 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, here we go into the 7 o'clock hour. Kevin Wheeler with you on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. We'll be hearing from John Heyman of MLB Network and Radio.com in just a few minutes. Get his thoughts on this series and on the rest of the series that'll begin in the National League tomorrow. We have American League action happening as we speak. One game is about to wrap up. The Rays have a 3-1 lead on the Blue Jays in the top of the ninth inning. And how about this? I didn't expect this, but St. Louis and Pete Fairbanks is on to pitch the ninth inning for the Rays with a 2-run lead over the Blue Jays. So that's a fun note. But the Rays are up 3-1. And if they win, they'll be the first home team to win today. Because the Astros, the visiting team, beat the Twins 4-1. And the White Sox beat the A's. As the White Sox were the visitor, they won 4-1 as well. So a couple of upsets in the early game. And obviously the Rays currently doing their jobs, kind of holding serve as the higher seeded team and the number one seed in the American League. And then we've got the Yankees and Indians going on right now too. The Yankees are up 3-0 in the bottom of the third. Two batters into the game, Aaron Judge hit a 2-run homer off Shane Bieber to give him a 2-0 lead. And then they obviously added another run. I believe the other run was driven in by Luke Voit. Yes, it was. Luke Voit with a double drove in a run off of Shane Bieber too. So the presumptive American League Cy Young Award winner, Shane Bieber, off to a little bit of a bumpy start against the Yankees. And of course, tomorrow we get Baseball-a-palooza. We get eight games starting at 11 a.m., wrapping up probably around midnight, probably a little after midnight. The first game is Reds and Braves at 11 a.m. The Cardinals squeeze in there at 4 p.m. Central Time. The last game will be the Brewers and the Dodgers at 9 p.m. Central Time. So as you can see, we're talking about baseball for at least 13 hours tomorrow. It's kind of a March Madness vibe, and I'm looking forward to every single minute of it, especially game one between the Cardinals and the Padres. And we've spent most of this time, and we will spend most of this coming hour, too, with more information, more breakdown of Cardinals and Padres and how it all plays out. And you know, the kind of who the key players are going to be. We've talked a lot about the starting pitching matchups and heard from Mike Schilt. Here I want to talk a little bit and hear a little bit from Fernando Tatis Jr., who is one of the most dynamic players. Forget dynamic young players. This is one of the most dynamic players and arguably the most physically gifted player on the planet. And I'll explain a little bit more of that in a second. But I want you to hear a little bit of what Tatis Jr. had to say today, starting off with him getting his first taste of playoff action.
Oh man, it's great. It's a new adventure. It's a brand new story for me. And I said, just a learning experience. And I'm just here to bring, you know, what I know, what to do, have fun, and be the same kid I've always been. You know, posting baseball is a game of inches. You got to take care of the baseball, take care of yourself. And but if we're here for a reason, so keep playing the game we have been playing, and this is all it's going to be about.
You always play with a lot of energy, but there's going to be maybe even more adrenaline here in postseason play. Have you thought about that at all? Is that something that you need to rein in it in any way, or you just bring it on, let it flow, and play with as much energy as you can feel?
I'm more with let it flow. You know, obviously there's going to be way more energy over here in the postseason, and I just love it when everybody's in the same path and the same train with that same energy. Oof, man, it's going to be fun to watch.
other than your obvious talent, is there a characteristic of the squad that makes you feel comfortable and confident now going into this part of the season?
We're good, but just the fact, like, we have each other's back, like me, then Manny, you know, we have guys that can turn this game with one swing, and obviously we have put great at-bats together, and that's the thing. Like, we're going to feed out of each other. So just the mentality we have is we know we have each other's back, so that's going to be the big point for us.
Your father obviously is a bit of a legend with the Cardinals. I wondered what your relationship was like with the Cardinals when you were a kid and he was playing with them and your memories. And then also just what that whole circumstance was like with them scouting you and if you ever expected to be a Cardinal.
that's a great story. But, you know, there was a great scouting out there. I did a lot of tryout for the organization in St. Louis. Although it didn't happen, they did offer me. That was a great part. And what can I say? We're just over here going to play some great baseball. I have some great memories from the Cardinals, and we're grateful. You know, my dad played for them, and he played a couple of years. He put his best season was for the Cardinals. So they obviously have a part in our heart, especially on my dad. And but I'm sorry over here. We're gonna step on the field. We ain't friends no more.
What do you recall of their time scouting you? I mean, you got to know their scouts really well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we did spend a lot of time together. But nothing. I think that wasn't the path. God had it for me, and stuff you turned out a way different.
Boy, I'll tell you that. And like, talk about sticking the knife in between the ribs right there. He had a really tight relationship with Cardinal scouts, and it didn't work out. Obviously, ended up signing with the White Sox. And you know what people don't necessarily think of is that at that time, he was not a prospect the way that he became shortly thereafter. He was really young. He was 16 years old. He was not in demand in the same way that he would have been 2 years later. And that's, by the way, why the White Sox traded him to the Padres. I mean, he was, again, super young and very raw, and he really hadn't shown all of this skill set that he's now put together. And I mentioned this before playing that. I think there's a legitimate argument that Fernando Tatis is the most gifted, physically gifted player on the planet. First of all, he's 6'3 and 217 pounds. So this is a large man. He is in the top 3% in Major League Baseball in sprint speed. So he's got one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. He's got one of the strongest infield arms in Major League Baseball. And if you look at his defense this year, where he was a liability defensively last year, he is the best player in baseball in outs above average from a defensive position. So again, best in baseball in outs above average. He has the highest average exit velocity in Major League Baseball at 95.9 miles per hour. Actually, I think it might be 96. No, it is 95.9. He has the best hard hit rate in baseball. He has the best barrel percentage in Major League Baseball. And obviously, he's got the numbers that prove all of that. He's essentially had the equivalent of one season's worth of Major League at-bats, because you might remember he had injuries last year. And in that one season's worth of at-bats, 39 home runs, 98 ribbies, batting at the top of the order, by the way, not batting middle of the order, but batting at the top of the order, with 27 steals, a .300 average, and a .956 career OPS. I mean, what he's capable is really, truly unbelievable. I mean, this is one of the, I mean, again, creates the most hard contact in the sport, is one of the fastest runners in the sport, has a cannon for an arm, is an outstanding defensive player, has a great instinct for the game, and he's going to be a hell of a challenge. And he's not alone. I mean, obviously the Padres aren't about one guy, but he's certainly the big star on that side, and they're going to have to pay a lot of attention to how things go with him. All right, we've got more on the Cardinals and Padres in the wild card round and more on the rest of the National League playoff matchups coming up next with John Heyman from MLB Network and Radio.com. Hit that in a few here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and Bank of Springfield on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on KMOX as we get ready for Cardinals-Padres. Game one tomorrow, of course, 4:07 first pitch right here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Plenty to talk about with our next guest. John Heyman is kind enough to join us. Of course, he's joining us from radio.com as one of their baseball insiders. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And of course, John, for a guy like you, for a guy like me, lifelong baseball, I guess we could say aficionados, nerds, fans, whatever, I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this. It's almost like March Madness for Major League Baseball these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Wall-to-wall games, 16 teams in the playoffs. Some people would quibble with that and say we shouldn't have more than half the teams in, but I'm okay with it for this year. I think it needs to be done. I think next year we had Rob Manfred on our big-time baseball podcast with Tony Gwynn, and he said going forward they'd like to have 12 or 14, which would be, I think, better than 16. But, you know, I understand there are two teams with losing records in. I'll be shocked if they get through this gauntlet and win. If they do, they will have above 500 records at that point. But I'm not seeing that happening.
No, I'm not. And, you know, we're familiar in St. Louis, John, with teams that are right at that edge, like maybe not good enough. I mean, the 2006 World Series champions won 83 games. So it's above 500, but it's not that much above 500 where anybody can really draw a line in the sand there.
Right. You're absolutely right. That 2006, quite memorable. They certainly played superbly in the postseason and went on a run, and Detroit played poorly in the World Series, and they ended up the champions. You know what happens? The Mets in 73 came within a game of the World Championship. They won around 82, 83 games as well. So it can happen even if you have four or five teams in the playoffs. So, you know, in my mind this year, I don't think we're going to see a team that's around 500 win it, but it is possible, and that's the beauty of baseball.
Well, back in 2006, it was the last time that the Padres made the postseason, and of course, the Cardinals and Padres met that year. Fun series coming up here, John, with the Padres being, you know, I think this was foreseen. A lot of guys like yourselves, a lot of guys that cover Major League Baseball were on the Padres from the beginning as a team to keep an eye on, and boy, did they live up to that.
Yeah, there were some trendy picks this year. The Padres, the White Sox, and the Reds, three of them, they're all in. White Sox and Padres delivered throughout the year. The Reds kind of sneaked their way in there at the end, as many teams did, just a bit above 500. Padres were really good this year. They played superbly throughout the year. There are some questions, though. We'll see if Lamette is healthy. That's a big one. And, of course, Clevinger, he appears to be not healthy for the first round. They're not at completely full strength. There are some questions with the Padres. Obviously, a young team that could be good or bad. But they have a very, very good roster overall and a very good lineup, and certainly present a big challenge for the Cardinals.
Boy, the lineup, I was looking at it, John, the other day as I was getting ready for this series, and, you know, having watched a lot of late-night baseball this year just because I'm taking in all this baseball that I can get, the Padres out on the West Coast, that lineup is so deep. I mean, from 1 through 8, you feel like you've got a threat in every single spot in the order, and maybe it's even going to be 1 through 9 now that they changed up the catching mix at the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the catchers are now above-average hitters with Castro and Nola. Previously, it was just a defensive position for them, so that was a big plus. They did the most at the deadline, obviously getting an ace in Clevinger. I will see if they get through this round, whether he'll be able to pitch in the next few rounds. We're not certain about that one, but they got a closer, which they needed with Rosenthal after Kirby Yates, who'd been one of the best two or three relievers in baseball last couple of years, went down with an injury. So, I mean, the Padres did like five times more than anybody else at the deadline. They really made the most of it. You got to give them credit for that. And it's part of the reason they're in the position they're in now.
For sure. And, you know, the big story, of course, the most exciting player in the game is probably Fernando Tatis Jr. And he had a fantastic offensive season, completely flipped himself defensively, where he was in kind of a problem last year to an asset this year. So obviously his story is like overwhelming. Manny Machado, we know, is such a great player and was a major free agent signing for them a year and a half ago. But what I find most interesting about looking at the lineup, John, is the resurgence of a guy like Will Myers, who for years they were hoping would kind of take a step, would be an anchor for the middle of the order. It just didn't happen, but he had a fantastic 2 months this year, and that, along with Yrjeson Profar and the rookie Jake Cronenworth, is what deepens that lineup from the guys we knew we could count on coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Cronenworth is a surprise. He went in a trade, and it was not thought that he was a good offensive player. He was looked at as a defensive specialist and a pitcher, kind of a two-way player. So when he went to spring training, they weren't sure whether he'd be a pitcher or a defensive specialist. Turned out to be an excellent hitter and is a Rookie of the Year candidate. They got Grisham in a trade. He's done a nice job for them as well. I think a lot of production from the infield with Cronenworth, Hosmer, and certainly Tatis and Machado, two MVP candidates. I don't know what to make of defensive metrics sometimes, but I don't see all the Padre games, so I don't know. But there's no reason Tatis shouldn't be an excellent defender. He's got the best infield arm in baseball, and he's got probably the most speed of any infielder as well.
Yeah.
So should have good range. He's one of the five or six fastest players in the game. Most of the other fastest are outfielders. So, he's an extremely, extremely talented player. They got a lot of talent on this roster. As I said, the big question for them will be the health of their pitchers and how they'll be able to match up, because you look at that Cardinal rotation. Kim's was excellent this year, and they're taking advantage of that, having him start game one. Wainwright's been an excellent pitcher throughout his career and particularly in the postseason. And Flaherty is one of the better pitchers in the league. So, a lot of people are picking the Padres, and myself included, but, I would not be surprised at all if the Cardinals won. There's some matchups I'm looking at, and wow, how's Milwaukee, shorthanded Milwaukee with pitching concerns and injuries, how are they going to beat the Dodgers? I just frankly do not see that one at all, and there are a couple others like that, but St. Louis and San Diego, it could really go either way.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we know the offensive struggles the Cardinals have had. I mean, it's pretty clear, and these two teams are very different in that regard. But often the postseason is about pitching. And I know you mentioned the Padres at the back end of their bullpen, former Cardinal Trevor Rosenthal. It's one of the things the Cardinals have actually pieced together very well this year is their bullpen. So I know from the Cardinals' perspective, they'd like to see a bunch of like 2-1, 3-2 type games, John, because if it turns into an offensive series, that's probably not suited best to them.
Yeah, probably not, but they do have players who have performed in the past. Obviously, DeJong and Carpenter didn't have great years this year, but they have it in them. We know that. And there have been unsung offensive heroes that came out of nowhere, weren't expected. Yeah, if you look at that Cardinal lineup with the average this year, I think Goldschmidt was the only player they had in the top 50 in OPS.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other one they had in the top 100 was I think Miller. So, and Bader had an okay year as well. It performed about as you'd expect. But O'Neill, Carlson, DeJong, Molina, Carpenter, all below career norms. So, they're looking at the lineup, and if you don't look at the average, if you look at the name, the potential is there.
John, quick hitters here, just a couple to close out. You mentioned the Dodgers and Brewers, just a brief look at each other's series in the National League. I'm with you on the Dodgers. It feels like that's a bit overwhelming, especially given the problems that the Brewers have with some of the guys in their rotation. Moving on beyond that series, what do you make of Braves-Reds as a matchup with a team in the Reds that was playing as well as anybody the last two and a half weeks of the season, and obviously they're going to run three quality starters out there for you?
Right, yeah, Bauer, Castillo, and Gray, that's probably as good of first three as just about anybody, and they have been playing well overall throughout the year, though the Braves were much better. So, Freed was given the go-ahead, and he should be able to go, and so, I kind of think that the Braves, with all their hitting, I think they might be able to pull it out, but again, not shocked if the Reds do it. I like them to win the division this year. I was disappointed the way they played up until the final week of the season. They finally put it together. But look, they have the pitching. The timing is on their side. And the Braves are not at full strength. They've lost four starting pitchers throughout the year, including their ace, Soroka. So, again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Reds pulled it out.
And then finally, Cubs-Marlins. I know it's been buzzing on Twitter today, John. The Marlins have never lost a playoff series. When they get in, they go and win it. Obviously, this is a whole different animal and a whole different circumstance. But still, I think a fun and interesting matchup with the Marlins being very young, and especially the starting pitchers they're going to run out there. Very young and very talented.
Yeah, I mean, we forget, or a lot of people do, that the 97 and 2003 World Series champion Marlin teams were stacked teams.
Yes,
you know, they had
yes.
extreme talent on those teams throughout the lineups, not only in the rotation. You know, the 2003 Marlins certainly came out of nowhere to come on and win. But, you know, they had the pitching. And this year's Marlins, give them credit. They're probably the story of the year to get here. After having, you know, being a rebuilding team with the outbreak, obviously the Cardinals had an outbreak too, and they weathered it as well. So give them credit too. But, you know, to be a rebuilding team and have the COVID outbreak, I mean, what did they make, 174 player moves this year? I mean, it's crazy. So you got to give them credit for getting there. They have some decent pitching. There is a scenario in which they could win. With Sanchez, Alcantara, and Lopez, the three starters, but they don't really have that. I understand that the organizational experience is good.
Right.
They won two World Series, but the players that they have now are awfully young. You know, maybe they're going to go in there with nothing to lose and not really thinking about what's going on. And maybe they'll pull it out, but, I mean, the Cubs should win that one, I would think. You know, we'll see. I mean, Darvish and Hendricks have been even better than the Marlins pitchers. So, and you know, the lineup favors the Cubs, even if they haven't had their normal years either.
Good point. John, great stuff. Always appreciate your work. I mean, I really enjoy when I catch you on MLB Network. And, of course, we can hear you all over the country with Entercom Radio and Radio.com work. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on and talking a little ball with us. Enjoy, I guess, our baseball version of March Madness over this next week or so. And actually, it'll probably continue beyond that. But at least these next 3 to 4 days are going to be a whole lot of fun and chaos. So enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well put. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That's John Heyman, again, from Radio.com. It was brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. You can find John on Twitter, at John Heyman. Just spell John, J-O-N. You'll get to the right guy. All right, so all of this that we built up to, we talked about the pitching matchups in the first hour. We heard from Mike Schilt. We've heard from Mark Grant to the Padres. We've heard from John Heyman. We've talked a lot about all of the different elements of this team. What does it come down to for the Cardinals? And this is what we're going to get into next. What does it take for the Cardinals to beat the Padres? We'll get that next up. It's the Strike Zone powered by Graybar here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and Bank of Springfield on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be back with you here on the Strike Zone. Kevin Wheeler with you here on KMOX. Time now for Building the Future, powered by Graybar. And what we're talking about with the future is like the future that is the next 3 days. And what does it take for the Cardinals to win this series? What does it take to beat the Padres? You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, can happen in a short series. So, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like any one of these individual things is an absolute must, right? There's no such thing as an absolute must in a three-game series. The worst team in baseball can win a three-game series against the best team in baseball. It happens every regular season. It's not that big of a shock. But specifically, just like looking at it logically, like what do the Cardinals need? I mean, first of all, they got to have the pitching hold up. So that includes both the starters and the bullpen. And, you know, they've been doing this everyday thing since they came back from the COVID outbreak, right? Ever since they came back from the 17 days off, they've been doing this every single day baseball thing. And, you know, for them, having 2 days off probably feels like an eternity. Getting Monday off and then, well, today was off from playing a game, but all they had was the workout. Didn't have to use your bullpen is kind of the point. So you've got a fresh, deep bullpen that should be in pretty good position to do whatever you need it to do in these first couple of games. Because you think about, we've talked a lot about the starters in Kim and Wainwright and Flaherty. I mean, certainly those guys have to live up to their peak, right? I mean, you need Kwon Young Kim to be what he's been all regular season. You need Adam Wainwright to be what he's been, you know, in the playoffs last year and what he's been in the regular season this year. You're certainly going to need Jack Flaherty to be the guy that pitched against teams not named the Milwaukee Brewers, right? I mentioned this earlier. His ERA outside of games against the Brewers is 2.79. So he's been more like the regular Jack Flaherty outside of games against Milwaukee. So, yeah, you need those guys to be like the best versions of themselves if you need to get to game three. But I think as important as that is you're going to need the bullpen to be strong. I mean, you're going to need to be able to count on Gallegos and Cabrera and Reyes in big spots. You're going to need Andrew Miller to be the good Andrew Miller. And his numbers in the regular season were pretty strong, man. I mean, 15 innings, 2.40 ERA, 18 strikeouts. If he's that guy, you're all right. I mean, if Helsley can be the guy that has a little bit better command of the strike zone than what he did when he first came back from the COVID list, you're going to be all right. And then keep in mind, you're adding Daniel Ponce de Leon and Austin Gomber into the relief mix too. And Ponce has been unbelievable his last three times out. Gomber's been unbelievable all season long with a 1.86 ERA and 29 innings of work. So, you know, you're deep in the pen. You've got a ton of options out there. And you can come at the Padres as early as you need to. So whether it's game one, two, or three, you shouldn't have any problem running out of pitchers. So I think that the simplest version of this is the pitching needs to be what it has been, right? I don't think you need any dramatic improvement from the pitching staff. I think you just need the pitchers to be what they've been. It's the offense that we've got to talk about. And you're going to need two or three guys to get hot. I mean, the one stable performer most of the year. And I mean, Paul Goldschmidt had his periods of time where he was a little bit down compared to others, but Paul Goldschmidt was pretty much the one consistent guy in the lineup. And it's remarkable that he got to put up the numbers that he did. I know Mike Claiborne and I have talked about it a number of times on post-game shows, wondering why anybody even pitches to him at this point. And I'll be curious to see how the Padres handle Goldie in this series. Like, why would you even take the risk of pitching to him with anything on the line? It's different if, you know, he comes up and there's nobody on base and two outs or whatever. But with men on base, I don't know why you'd want to give in to him considering the Cardinals have struggled so much in the month of September in the cleanup spot. You know, there was a good run there where Brad Miller was on fire and he was tearing the cover off the ball and you had him hitting cleanup and that certainly helped, but he's fallen off a good bit since then. Nobody else has really stepped up. They tried Dylan Carlson in the cleanup spot this past Sunday. And I'll be interested to see how Mike Shildt handles the lineup construction for game one. And, I mean, you know, at this point, Carlson's as logical as anybody. I mean, if you want to take a look at what's happened over the last 2 weeks, if you look at the last 15 days, if you look at the last 7 days, I mean, he's been the hottest hitter on the team. I've pointed this out a couple times, including on the pregame and postgame on Friday, this past Friday. But since September 18th, Carlson's got a .278 average, which isn't by any means mind-boggling, but it's the best on the team during this stretch. But a .936 OPS during that time, four doubles, a triple, two home runs, and 11 runs batted in. I mean, for a good long stretch, for more than a week, probably like 10, 11 days, he's the best hitter on the team. And he was getting hits in big spots, too. So maybe he makes sense there, although it's a lot of pressure and it's a lot to ask for a guy that's got all of, you know, 110 major league at-bats to step in there and bat cleanup. I don't know what Mike Shildt has in mind there, but no matter what, you're going to need two more players to catch a hot streak if you're going to beat the Padres. You know, you have the pitching to keep yourself in games, but the Padres can pitch, too. Right, I mean, we don't know yet whether Mike Clevinger or Denelson Lamet are going to be available, But even without them, they've got a good bullpen too. And, you know, they obviously have a loaded lineup. I mean, they're going to have a threat in the lineup in every spot in the order. They will have nine hitters in the lineup that can beat you some way, somehow, on most days. But especially on the day when they have Austin Nola catching, who's a bit more of an offensive-minded catcher. So who are the candidates to catch a hot streak for the Cardinals? Who are the guys that could make this happen? Well, obviously, I mentioned Carlson already. We don't need to go any further there. I think that, you know, one of those guys could be Tommy Edman. Somebody who, you know, look, you'll see him at times. He goes through these stretches where, you know, you're like, man, this guy's really good, and he's got some pop, and, he can hit the ball. You know, he seems to drive the ball more than he should for a guy his size. But then you look at his numbers at the end of the year, and 685 OPS, it's just not that much. But you know, he could be a guy that could catch a streak. I mean, to me, the perfect candidate to get on one of his patented hot streaks is Paul DeJong. Like, DeJong ends up every year with good numbers. I mean, like, seriously, every year at the end of the year, he's got really solid numbers. But it's the result of hot streak, cold streak, hot streak, cold streak. I mean, for a guy that, you know, like last year hit 30 home runs, there were times where you couldn't get him out, and then there were times where he didn't hit. You need Paul DeJong to catch a streak, right? I mean, you need him to be the good version of what he can be as opposed to the guy that's on the down streak. And let's be honest, for most of September, Paul DeJong was struggling. I mean, it wasn't a good month for him. He only hit one home run in September, only had three total extra base hits, 21 hits in 99 at-bats, right? I mean, this is at a lot of strikeouts, by the way. Struck out more than 30% of the time in the month of September. If I had to pick one guy that is the critical guy to pick it up and have a big series, that's who it is. It's Paul DeJong. Now, you're going to need contributions from everybody, right? You're going to need Dexter Fowler. You're going to need Harrison Bader, depending on the matchups that Mike Shildt needs to play. But Bader has been clearly a better offensive player than Tyler O'Neill has been this year and in the month of September, with Dylan Carlson being hot and Fowler being a little more stable. I mean, I think you have to have those three in there, Bader, Fowler, and Carlson on most days. But what you'll need for sure is at least two guys with a hot streak, and the candidates that I think would probably be the most likely to do it would be Tommy Edman and Paul DeJong, in addition to Dylan Carlson. But you're going to just need Carlson to keep on doing what he's done for about the last 10 or 11 days to pull off the upset. And this would be a pretty significant upset. I mean, it's the 4 seed against the 5 seed, but the Padres were one of the best regular season teams in Major League Baseball. If they weren't seeding based on first place and second place and all that, the Padres would be the second best team in the National League. They were the third best team in Major League Baseball this year. So this is by no means an easy matchup. You're going to need to catch a couple of hot streaks, and obviously you're going to need to pitch. And if you're going to try to gauge how likely it is, it's probably not the most likely of scenarios. But we've also seen unlikely Cardinals teams make pushes into the playoffs in the past. Be interesting to see how it starts off with Game 1 tomorrow. All right, coming up next, we'll do the full playoff preview. Just a quick breakdown on all of the series that are happening now. And that'll be happening tomorrow. We'll wrap up the Strike Zone with a look at all of the playoff baseball that's happening around us next up here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and Bank of Springfield on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so looking at the big playoff picture here during Strike Zone on KMOX, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Today we had 4 games on the schedule. 3 of them are finals, and one of them is heading towards that, even though it's only in the 5th inning. The game that's happening right now, the Yankees have pounded Shane Bieber 7 runs in 4 2/3. So the Yankees are up 7-2 in the top of the 5th inning there. So the presumptive American League Cy Young Award winner took a beating in this first game against the Yankees, gave up home runs to Aaron Judge, to Gleyber Torres, gave up a double, an RBI double to Luke Voit, and he leaves after giving up 7 earned runs on 9 hits and 2 walks in 4 2/3 innings of work. And this is the danger of the short series, you know, when your top starter gives it up and has a bad day. We've got three teams that are looking like they're going to be winning on the lower seed teams and the visitors winning today, because you had two of them already. The Astros beat the Twins, and the Astros were one of those unfortunate teams to make the postseason with a losing record. They won game one 4-1. The White Sox beat the A's 4-1, so again, the lower seed winning there. And then the one seed in the American League, the Rays, so far the first home team and higher seeded team to win a game. They beat the Blue Jays 3-1, with the Indians being the home team against the Yankees, losing 7-2. By the way, if you want to look at kind of predictions for the American League, I had Tampa over Toronto in the series, the Yankees over the Indians, the Astros over the Twins, and the White Sox over the A's. So today's going pretty well for me. On the National League side, you got, I think, three really interesting series and one that looks like a walkthrough. And I would say that one is the Dodgers against the Brewers. It'll be interesting to see if the Brewers can keep the games close, because if they're close, you know, that very back end of the pen with Devin Williams and Josh Hader can sure make things interesting if the Brewers can have a lead late in games. As good as the Dodgers are, nobody's good against those two guys so far this season. So that would be the one area where Milwaukee's got to get it going. But a lot like the Cardinals, you know, Milwaukee's struggled on offense all season, and now you're going up against one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. It's going to be tough. So I have the Dodgers there. The Cubs and the Marlins could be fun, and I want to root for the Marlins, but I think their lineup's a little thin. The starting pitchers are talented but super young. Former Cardinal prospect Sandy Alcantara is starting the first game. I don't like the Miami bullpen either, so I've got to go with the Cubs in that series. The Reds and Braves is just fascinating. I mean, the Braves have the big, powerful lineup with threats all the way up and down the order and multiple MVP candidates there, and the Reds have the pitchers. I'm actually going with the Reds there. I'm going to take Bauer, Gray, and Castillo to find a way to snag two out of those three games in the series. And in the Cards, Padres, I mean, it's going to come down to the Cardinals pitching doing what I'm saying the Reds pitching is going to do, but I think it's going to be a little tough. I think the Padres are clearly the team to beat there, but it's going to come down to whether or not you're going to get top-flight starting pitching on the Cardinals side. If they get top-flight starting pitching, and these games aren't going to be, you're not going to need five or six runs to win. If you can win these games with three runs, then you've got your chance to advance and see what happens in the second round of the playoffs. But the Padres are awfully good. I mentioned this, you know, in the last segment. I mean, that's the third best team in baseball this season. They're balanced, right? They have the third best team ERA in the National League. They had the third most runs scored and the third most home runs. I mean, it's a really well-rounded team, and it's going to be one hell of a challenge, but we'll look forward to seeing that challenge get started tomorrow with Kwon-Young Kim going up against Chris Paddock in the pitching matchup. And look, Kwon-Young Kim has been good all season long. He's had one rough outing, and other than that, has been absolutely dominant. And he has no left-right split, so you're really talking about kind of the right guy to make that start. And Chris Paddock for the Padres has struggled with the home run ball, so maybe the Cardinals can get a couple swings of the bat and steal game one before they look into what's going to happen in games two or three. It's been good talking ball with you. We'll be doing this again tomorrow. Next time you hear from me, we'll be on the pregame show tomorrow with Cardinals and Padres getting into game one. It's been a good night. You guys enjoy the baseball. We'll talk to you pregame tomorrow here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.